Well, I'm going to, apologies for those of you who are in the side here, but we haven't so many people on the side of the balcony, so I'm going to speak from here today, and I hope that you can see me on the screen. I'm slightly out of sync on the screen, aren't I? So my apologies for that as well. Just to say a big word of thanks to the technical team who have put together the live stream each week. I was on the Sun Terrace in Sardinia watching the church here and joining with you, and it was such a privilege to join with you and to see my church family there. So I want to thank all the technical team, the people behind the scenes who enable all this to happen each week and who give so much time for it. There's so much that happens below the scenes here. Well, we've got some slides which are going to come up. The first one, which hopefully you'll see, and John, you're going to have to make this up as you go along, will be a picture of me, and actually I've got the harness on some trees. I'll wait till John gets that up, hopefully in just a second. Keep going. There we are. Okay. It looks very active. I have to say I'm not the most active person in the world, so don't let that fool you. But the very first time I did this kind of thing, this was going into the trees, and there's lots of wires across, and basically there's challenges where you've got to get across various rope challenges and so on in the trees. And what you have is you have a harness that you put on. You kind of put it on almost like putting on a pair of pants, if you know what I mean. So you put them over your leg, and they kind of go around your the mid part of your body. And from that, there is a cable, and at the end of the cable, there's a clip which you clip onto the ropes above, and you take it off and on as you go between the various challenges. Now, when I first did this, I was rather suspicious of this equipment. You see, I am rather large, as you can tell, and this rope was rather thin, and the clip on the ends looked very fragile, and so I was rather suspicious of it. And kind of one of the first things they do is they make you clip on, and you have to kind of clamber across. There's a rope there, there's a rope here, and you clip on the top rope, and you clamber across. That was easy enough. And then the next one, you've got to clip on. You've got to lie back and pull yourself over your head with this cable holding you. Now, it did not look like it would hold me. And so my kids, they had it on. They were off straight away. But I was rather more nervous about that attachment that I had to those wires. And as you go along, as you can see, you start to get very, very high. And so the nerves would have been very great. I'm not sure I would have done them if I hadn't learned to trust in the equipment. Now, we're coming to a passage today where it's talking about our trust in God. The passage starts that God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Now, we're in days, aren't we, when there's many, many things to fear. We live in a changing environment. I'm sure that you're aware that that we've had so many changes during lockdown, from lockdown to gradually open up. And of course, they followed the very rapid changes into lockdown. And now we've got more changes coming. The government changed their regulations on August the 15th, and we've got more changes coming in the future. And of course, as we go into the days ahead, sadly, as there are local lockdowns, there'll be slight changes in different areas of the country. And so maybe you feel very nervous about all the change that's happening at the moment. Maybe you feel nervous because of the virus, and if I go out, what is going to happen to me if I go out and shopping or just around my normal business in the world? What's going to happen to me? You know, there are many things, of course, in our lives which cause us to be nervous and fearful. There are difficulties that come in, and sometimes we might open a letter and there's news that we didn't want to get, or we might be facing crisis and difficulties in our jobs. There are so many difficulties we face in life, and there are those among us today who have lost loved ones. And there are those who are watching who have lost loved ones still fairly recently and are really hurting from it. How do we face those situations together? Well, here what we have this morning in this passage, which I encourage you to keep open in front of you with your Bibles or on your phones. If you've got your Bible on your phone, just turn everything else off so that you're concentrating on God's Word. Before us, we have got a call to use the equipment, if you like, that God has given us. Use the promises that God has given us. Now, this psalm was written, it is thought, probably around the time when Hezekiah was surrounded in Jerusalem by Sennacherib's army. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria. That was the major power of the time, the major military power of the time. And Sennacherib's army had swept every other nation before it. And then it started to come into the nation of Judah. And 46 towns in Judah had all been taken by Sennacherib. Every one of the major towns in Judah had been taken by Sennacherib. And now his army was surrounding Jerusalem. And what Sennacherib does is he gets his messengers to go and to call to Hezekiah. And their call is insulting. They remind him that Sennacherib's army has taken every single town in their country. They remind him that no nation has been able to stand against Sennacherib's army. And then they say, who are you trusting in? Hezekiah, you say you're trusting in God, but can your God possibly save you when all of these nations have been crushed by Sennacherib's army? Now, what was Hezekiah's response going to be? What was the response of the people in Jerusalem going to be? So you can see that when we are facing difficulties, it is not something that God is unaware of or that God's people haven't faced before. And indeed, when the world laugh at us for our trust in God, that is nothing new. But God still reminds us, even in that situation, that He is our strength, that He is our refuge, that He is our ever-present help in trouble. I had to learn to trust that harness in order to have the freedom to enjoy the activity that I was undertaking. We need to learn to trust in our God. Now, this psalm's in three parts. So Baptist ministers always have 3 points, don't they? But this psalm actually gives us 3 things that we need to learn. So there's 3 things we're going to look at as we go through this psalm today. And the first thing I want you to see is that God is with us. God is with us. God is about us or around us, if you like. God is with us. And notice there's a statement here we start with, and there's a consequence. Okay, so it's like an if-then statement. So if God really is our refuge and our strength, our ever-present help, then, what's the consequence? You should not fear. You should not fear. Now let's get the first part of that to start off with. God is our refuge and strength. Now, I don't want you to think of it a bit like this. This is a picture, John, which will come up there in a moment. Now, does anybody recognize what this is, if you can see that? Anderson Shelter. If you're a certain age, Roger, you're not that old, are you? it's an Anderson shelter. You had to build them in the garden. They're basically corrugated iron, weren't they? And you put a bit of mud over it. And I don't know really what they were thinking. I guess it was to protect you from flying shrapnel, really, from windows breaking in. But if a bomb landed there, there was not going to be a great deal of protection, really, from that. And my parents have quite an interesting story about a bomb landing very near their Anderson shelter. Actually, what God is talking about is not this kind of shelter which we can think of, which can be easily blown away, rather like an umbrella which can be blown inside out. It's probably more like the next picture which is on there, which is a picture of a place not too far from here at Broadchurch. And there's a nuclear shelter on the where the tower is, or sorry, not Broadchurch, Broadway. There's a nuclear shelter just by the tower there. You probably haven't noticed it. There's a couple of green boxes on the surface, and underneath that is a huge reinforced concrete. And it's not a large area, but a reinforced concrete area underneath that, and underneath meters of soil. It was intended to withstand nuclear attack. You would be safe there. You would feel safe if you're in it, no matter what the circumstances. And that's the idea here. The words which are used in these verses are really strong words. We're told that God is our refuge, the place of security and protection where we are safe. Not just we feel safe, we are safe. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus. Repeat after me. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is yours in Christ Jesus. It's a place of refuge. It's a place of strength. Not about my strength, but about his strength being with me at all times. And it's a place of help, that ever-present, that word ever-present in the Hebrew, it could be translated vehement. If you're vehement about something, you're getting pretty aggressive about it, aren't you? God is vehemently for you. God is vehemently for you. God is our vehement, our ever-present help in times of trouble. And so it's not like that Anderson shelter, fragile, but it's like that nuclear bunker. It's totally assured. God is our ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, the consequence, we will not fear. Now, I want just to qualify this. It's not about the immediate thing. When you open that letter or when you get that bad news, well, of course, our emotions, we suddenly get worried or concerned or we fear. That's just part of who we are. But the Hebrew behind it is quite important. It actually talks about the ongoing fear. I will not be made afraid. It's the place where we land, as it were. So you might have that instant reaction. But where are you going to land? Are you going to continue to walk in fear or anxiety? Or are you going to stand firm on the promises of your God? You see, it's not about the reaction, but it's about the long-term impact upon our security and upon our feelings. God wants you to know him as the reality in your lives. And it's not dependent on circumstance, is it? Look at verse 2 and verse 3. Therefore, we'll not fear, even though the whole earth move. If you look at the words there is continental shift in those words, isn't there? In other words, even if God turns your whole world upside down, you are safe in him. I was wrapped in that harness which I put on. I was climbing the trees, and I was fearful. But until I came to rest in the strength of the harness, I could not enjoy my time nor know the freedom of going into those tree climbing things. Now, I absolutely love them. If I see one, I'll give it a go now. Why? Because I've learned to trust in it. And that's what God wants us to do, to bring us to a point of trust in him. So the psalmist declares, God is, therefore I will not fear. Look at my security, and off I go. So I have God surrounding me, as it were, God protecting me on all sides. Secondly, there's God within us. You know, this is lovely. The psalmist doesn't stop there. He goes on, and he adds to it, and he talks about God within us. Now, suddenly you see in verse 4, it starts talking about a river. That's a bit of a strange thing, isn't it? It's talking about a river. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Why is it talking about a river? Well, when I was on holiday in Sardinia, there was a fort we went to visit. It was high on the hill. We thought, well, we've got to go and see that. It was 42 degrees, so it wasn't a very wise idea to climb up the hill and be there. But what it did do when we got up there, raging hot, was it emphasized one thing which I saw. And all around the base of this fort, just by the main tower, there were holes in the ground. If you looked into the holes in the ground through the gratings they put there now, you'd see wide caverns. They had hacked into the rock to create these big spaces. And in these big spaces, they were cisterns, and water would gather, rainwater would gather in them. Why did they put them there? Well, because if the fortress was surrounded, people, because of the way the fortress was built, would not be able to get up to it very easily or to assault it very easily. But the fortress could only last a very short time if they did not have a supply of fresh water and a good supply of food. And what the psalmist is talking about here is that God is not just outside surround us, but God actually is within us. We are those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If you go to Revelation in chapter 22, and you're to read verses 1 to 5, which sadly we don't have time to read this morning, you'll see it talks there about the city of God, which is going to come. It's a picture of our dwelling with God in heaven. And in that city, there's a throne, and from that throne flows a river, and that river goes through the middle of the city. And it's constantly flowing from the throne of God. It's the river of life. And around that river, there grows the tree of life. And we're told about the tree of life, that it has a fruit, it harvests, that you can harvest from it. Rather, there's fruit that comes 12 times a year, every single month. Or you want to put it another way, the 12 tribes of Israel, or the 12 disciples or apostles, which represent the church now. Every single one of us in the church is provided for by God constantly. Now, that's a picture of God's provision and protection when we go to be with him. But you see, the reality is that God has given us his Spirit. He is with us now. We know the same reality within us this very day. And so God is within us. And so it pictures, the point is that God is the one who gives life. He is the one who provides, even when we think that we cannot cope with the situation we're facing. So verse 4, we are the holy place in which the Most High dwells. Your bodies are temples of the Spirit, and God is within you. Now, we need to apply this to our lives, don't we? Do you remember the disciples in the boats? And they were sailing, and Jesus was seemingly, was asleep at the front of the boat. And the storm was so great that the boat was filling with water, and we're told that the boat was about to sink. I don't know whether you've ever been on a car ferry, but I've been on a car ferry in a force 9 gale. It wasn't pleasant. There was not a single person that I saw apart from myself in the whole car ferry who wasn't sick. And I don't know quite why I wasn't, because I'm sick at the smallest thing. But I remember that, the ship going up and down, and there were children screaming, and there were adults screaming, because it seemed like the ship was being engulfed by the sea. And people were so worried about it. And when they wake up Jesus says to them, "Oh, you have little faith." Now, actually, if we were there, we'd have been going, "But Jesus, don't you get it? We're about to be swamped. We're about to drown." But the point was that Jesus was with them. Jesus was with them. The one who created the universe, he was with them. And this is what God wants us to apply to our hearts and lives in this time of fear, that we have a God who is with us. So verse 6, nations are in uproar and kingdoms fail, but he lifts his voice and the earth melts. He is the one who is more powerful than anything that we can face. And he's with you. He's with you. He's around you. He's with you. And lastly, he's in all things. Verse 8 to 10, it tells us, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Two very quick things here. There's two ideas here. First of all, it's the desolations that God has brought upon the earth. What is God doing? He makes wars to cease. These believers here in Jerusalem, these God's people in Jerusalem, would have heard Isaiah speak. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Again, we don't really have time to look at it today. If you were to look at it, you'll see it talks about God making war cease. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to God's people who are about to go into exile. What's he telling them? He's telling them that it seems like their whole world has collapsed, that everything has gone wrong, but God is still over all these circumstances, and he is going to bring his sovereign purposes to pass, no matter what the circumstances. I don't know what you face today. I know the difficulties we share together. But, of course, many of us share very personal difficulties. We need to know this, no matter what we face, we have a sovereign God who is over all powers and all authorities, whose purposes will come to pass no matter what happens. He's the God who is at work. And he says he breaks the bow and shatters the spear. The idea there is that although there are mighty powers around us, God is the one who is more powerful than the mightiest powers
around us. So what do we see here? We see God who is our refuge and strength, the one who is around us and who guards us. We see God who is within us and empowers us and enables us because he is the one who is the river of life who is flowing through us. And we see God who is sovereign over every power and authority. So what is our response to be? Verse 10, be still and know that I am God. In my previous church, we had a text up behind the pulpit. It went kind of round my head, and it said, be still and know that I am God. And when I first went to the church, and I encouraged people to greet one another, I had one of the older folk from the church come to me and berate me. They said, how dare you do that before a service? The text above you tells us that we've all got to be quiet before the service. Be still and know that I am God. I had great delight in turning them to Psalm 46 and putting them right. What's it saying? It's saying we have to take an active step. When we see all this difficulty, when we see all this change, when we're worried about all that is happening in the world, there's an active thing we have to do. We have to still our hearts. Why? Because he's God. Because he surrounds me. Because he's within me. Because he is sovereign over every circumstance. And so today, can I encourage you, in the face of all these changes that we have, to behold your God, to quiet your heart before him, and acknowledge that he is God in every circumstance of your life. And yes, things might indeed be difficult, and you might indeed face days you'd far rather never face, but God is sovereign. His purposes towards you are good, and he is an unchanging, ever-loving, faithful Father, so that we can be still and know that he is God.